You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Are you tired of the hypocrisy in our culture? How about in church? How about in yourself? Have you ever wondered how God handles all this double-minded madness? Well, you've come to the place where we'll find the truth. I'm Steve Schwetz, and you're listening to Through the Bible. Our teacher, of course, is Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and today he's beginning in Isaiah 29, and he's going to look at this subject of hypocrisy and a lot more. But before we begin our study, I want to share a few thoughts that Dr. McGee recorded on an article in the Great Commission Prayer League's Global Circle magazine. Here's what he had to say.
This is what is said about prayer. It says, carelessness in prayer dwarfs every other aspect of need in the Lord's work. Our theology of prayer is flawless, but our practice is faulty. Our intentions are good, but prayer is usually a last resort. We have committees, retreats, seminars, conferences, tapes, and a flood of printed matter, but little prayer. Prayer meetings are the most poorly attended functions of our Bible-believing churches. Our fundamentalism has become sophisticated to the point where we give little more than lip service to the doctrine of prayer. Could it be that personal needs, financial limitation, ineffective ministry, and unsolved interpersonal problems are all related to our superficial approach to prayer? And this rebuke that this brother gives us about today, our lack of prayer, and I mention this to you today especially just to say to you, remember the Through the Bible radio ministry and prayer, and we're seeing results. I've never seen anything like it in my ministry. Somebody was praying, I'm sure of that. And all these letters now tell me about people that are remembering us in prayer. I hope that you're our partner today in getting the Word of God out to the world. What a thrill it is.
It's true. It's only through your prayers and the grace of God that we see results in this ministry. Here's one of those terrific letters that he mentioned. I'm Mary, and I should have written long before now. Through the Bible is such a blessing in my life and has been for a long time, ever since I first heard Dr. McGee while driving alone in Arkansas. His voice stopped me immediately, and I knew I had to listen. Being a part of the World Prayer Team is glorious. Such a wonderful opportunity to pray for brothers and sisters around the world and for those who will one day be in the family. Recently, you shared a letter from India. It was from a dedicated group of senior ladies who gather together every week to listen to the program, knit fellowship, and sing, and then to read that they knit hats for poor people in Israel. That just amazed me. We listeners of Through the Bible truly are one in Christ. Though boundaries and backgrounds may separate us, we are one in Him. The World Prayer Team has given me a vision of how glorious eternity will be, sharing it with the wonderful saints from around the world. And though I will never meet them in this life, I've gotten to know my fellow prayer warriors through your daily emails. I'm privileged to be a part of this support team, but you are the ones who have supported me. I've learned so much. A number of years ago, I downloaded the studies from Genesis to Revelation to an iPad. I listen daily, and I have been through most of Dr. McGee's studies many times. Dr. McGee has helped me through numerous hospital stays and difficult times. I thank God for His faithful ministry, and I thank you for your faithfulness in putting out the whole Word to the whole world. My prayers will continue for all of you and for God's Word to be heard in every land. Well, thank you, Mary. You know, you explained the joys and benefits as a member of the World Prayer Team much better than I ever could have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're overwhelmed by your grace. Thank you for using each one of us to advance your kingdom and share your word. We pray that many more lives will be changed through the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our study of Isaiah 29 on Through the Bible.
Now, friends, in the 29th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we've seen that these are prophecies concerning Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, beginning in the immediate future
and reaching on into the kingdom. And we saw last time that Ariel here means Jerusalem. It's identified as the city where David dwelt, and Ariel means lion. And the Lord Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And that's what David was. That was the insignia of that line. And also, Ariel can mean altar. And that altar was only in Jerusalem. That was the place they were to go and worship the Lord. Now, in this section, he tells about the immediate coming of an enemy that will destroy Jerusalem. And then in verse 5, moreover, the multitude of thy strangers, the multitude of thy terrible ones, and Jerusalem is to be besieged. And this city has, I suppose, been besieged and captured and destroyed and burned more than any other city in the world today. For instance, I have a list here, not before me now, but in my files, of 27 sieges that were leveled against Jerusalem. 27 times this city was attacked. 27 times it was taken, destroyed most of those times. And that's the reason that it today is not quite accurate to say to folk, well, come with us to Jerusalem and walk where Jesus walked. Well, you're not going to walk where he walked. Actually, you want to go to the Pool of Bethesda. You'll find out that it's about 50 feet down from the level of the ground today. And evidently, the Lord Jesus walked down there. And it's quite evident today that Solomon's temple was probably 100 feet down, 100 feet plus, down beneath where the Mosque of Omar is today. Why is that true? Well, that city's been besieged, destroyed so many times, and then they'd rebuild it right on the wreckage of the city that had been destroyed. They'd level it off. That's what you remember Nehemiah did. Out of the debris and wreckage, why he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. And they don't have to haul any rocks there. This is not needed. You've heard a few years ago that they were shipping stone from Indiana to rebuild the temple. My friends, that, of course, was proven false, but how foolish it would be. They got more rocks over there than they need. There is no place on top side of this earth that's as rocky as Jerusalem and that area around there. It is a rugged terrain in that area. It's the reason the city was so difficult to take, by the way, by the enemy. And so he speaks here in verse 7, and the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel. So the city has been destroyed and is yet to be destroyed in the future. Now, the Lord here, beginning with verse 9, we have the meaning and the message. That is, why is God going to judge and has he judged this city? Well, they've had the word of God, which other cities have not had. They haven't been judged as severely as Jerusalem has either. The responsibility is measured by the light that you have, the privileges that God gives you. So beginning here at verse 9, he says, stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They're drunken, but not with wine. They stagger not with strong drink. Why? Because, verse 10, for the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. Now I want you to look here at a remarkable passage of Scripture, and this is so much up to date. We said that Isaiah is the prophet of the commonplace, and this will fit right down today in our contemporary culture. Let me tell you, did God actually make them sleepy? How did he do it? Well, this is the way he did it. He kept giving them light, and as he gave them light, they would not accept it. They could not see it. That revealed that they were blind. Now, if he hadn't given light to them, why, you would know whether they were blind or not. And that's the way that he puts them to sleep. That's the way that he reveals that people are blind today. Now, listen to verse 11. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. Now, will you listen to this just a moment? And this is very much up to date. Have you ever heard anyone say, I've heard seminary professors say this. I've heard ministers say this. Well, you know, the book of Revelation is a sealed book. Nobody can understand it. Well, that's what they said in Isaiah's day about Isaiah's prophecies and about all the prophecies they had at that time. They had the Word of God, and they said, well, after all, you can't understand it. My friend, they didn't want to understand it. Verse 12, and the book is delivered to him that's not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I'm not learned. And somebody gives the excuse today, well, I'm busy. I'm a Christian, and I really want to live the Christian life. But that five-year program, that's way out. I can't give that kind of time to the Word of God, you see. Well, all kinds of excuses are made today by Christians because of their ignorance of the Word of God. And let me come back to the book of Revelation. That's a book that it's said of it, it's not sealed. In fact, Revelation is the Greek word apocalypse, and that means unveiled. God took the seal off of that, so you can understand this. And in one sense, the book of Revelation is probably the simplest book in the Bible. Now, that means you must have 65 books underneath it that you've looked over before you come to it, because it's the last book of the Bible, and you don't begin with it as some people do, but you take it up last. And when you do, you'll find out it's the simplest book in the Bible. We'll see that when we get to it. No book is so organized. It, to me, was the easiest book in the Bible to outline. I had trouble with some of the small books. No trouble with Revelation. It outlines itself. It's a book that I think is as clear as the noonday sun. And all this nonsense that, well, you know, it's symbolic and it's a sealed book and we're not supposed to understand it. That's what they were saying in Isaiah's day. And God says, I'll judge you for that because I've given you light and you will not open your eyes. You're blinded to the light that I've given you. And that is the thing that God says to us today regarding Revelation. Listen to this. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And then again in Revelation 22:10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It's not a sealed book. Now, God says in verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man. You see, if you'd been present in that day, you'd have wondered what Isaiah really meant. Because the people were going to the temple. Why, that area was crowded. Any time there was a sacrifice offered, you'd just find the people everywhere. And the whole temple area filled, the place for Israel, the court of the women, the court of the Gentiles, they're all there. And you would say, well, what in the world is God finding fault with these people for? They're all come to church. But my friend, they came there and they mouthed the thing. They went through the ritual. They could say the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed, but it didn't mean anything to them. They didn't believe it. They didn't accept God's Word. And God says, your heart is far from me, and that's the reason I'm going to judge you. And my friend, that's the reason God's going to judge us. Why, all of this formality, all of this religion today, and my friend, may I say to you, the curse of the world is religion. And God would like for you to get rid of religion and come to Christ. It's the greatest barrier for a great many people. I mentioned that to a man not too long ago. And immediately he countered by saying to me, I want you to know, Dr. McGee, I'm a religious man. He says, you know, I'm a religious man by nature. Huh? He's got a fallen nature, but he's religious by nature. And I think I shocked him. I said to him, brother, you ought to get rid of your religion. He says, why aren't you a religious man? I said, no, I'm not. Well, he came back and he said, I can't believe that there's a preacher that's not religious. I said, I'm not. Well, he said, what are you then? Well, I said, I'm one that came as a sinner to Christ, and I have a relationship today with a person. That's no religion, it's a relationship. And that's the important thing. Do you have Christ or don't you have Christ? That's what he's trying to get through to these people here. And that's the reason that he judged them. Now we come down to the last part of this. And by the way, in verse 15, this is so serious with his people, he puts in an extra woe here. You know, we're in the section that deals with six woes. God doubles it up for this one. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, as if they could do anything that God didn't know about. And verse 17 now, we see the future. You have the honor and glory. God's not through with that city. He's judged it. And all you have to look at it today, it's just like a layer cake there, one city on top of another. God is judge. But they're going to rebuild it again, and it'll be the city of God. And he says, verse 18, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The deaf are going to hear. The blind are going to see, and the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. And today there is a willful blindness. That was the difficulty of these people. Now in that day, the millennium that's coming, they're going to see. And at that time, verse 22, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hand, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name. Now, what will they do with the name of God? They'll make it holy. They're going to set it aside as something wonderful. Today, God's people, by their lives, by their living, should sanctify the name of God. It's a holy name, but do we treat it that way? Now in chapter 30, Judah here is admonished not to turn to Egypt for help against the Assyrian, but to turn to the Lord, for he has glorious things planned for their future. Now, I'm not going to go into detail in this chapter, because it has this one message, and it has been literally fulfilled. Here is one place where the southern kingdom did not, they heard the warning, they did not join up with Egypt in order to be delivered. The northern kingdom did. We have that in 2 Kings 17:4. I'll not turn to it. And the very interesting thing is that the lesson was, a northern kingdom went into captivity. Apparently, this is one place where they learned the lesson. But this is for these people, and it includes the southern kingdom, and the day is coming when they will turn to Egypt again. Now, with conditions as they are in the world right now, so many people saying prophecies being fulfilled and means we're right at the end. Let's not be in too big a hurry. Let's only move as God moves today. And let's be careful not to say some things God has not said. Now we come here, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. And how are they rebellious? Verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked of my mouth. God says, this is the fourth woe. And the woe is a woe because it's a warning. He said, don't go to Egypt for help because it won't be very good. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. And he says, any help down there is a mirage on the desert, and their help will be in vain. Now God says, turn to me, come to me, I will deliver you. And therefore, and this is a marvelous verse here, it's one of the great gems of scriptures. Verse 18, And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Now, don't hurry. Don't say, oh, we are at the end of the age, and he's going to come by 2000. Who told you that? God says, you let me work this out, because I have not given you any dates. Learn to wait upon the Lord. And we're told today that this matter of looking for the Lord Jesus to take his church out is a matter of waiting. And we're told, Isaiah will tell us this later on, they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. All of this tension and pressure today, trying to rush God. Friends, he's in no hurry. And maybe things over there are not like you think they ought to be, and you and I'd like to rearrange it. You let the Lord work it out. He's got eternity ahead of him, and apparently he doesn't seem to be in a hurry. And when you and I get in step with him, it's going to make life lots easier for us down here. This is a marvelous chapter, and it has this personal message for us today. And that was all that I was interested in bringing out in this chapter. Now in chapter 31, again, the prophet warns God's people not to look to Egypt for help, but to look to the Lord, for he will defend Jerusalem. Now, so pressing was the danger, and so evident was the likelihood of Israel turning to Egypt, that the prophet continued to warn Judah of the futility of such a measure. And in the future, these people are going to turn to the wrong ally. They'll accept an antichrist. And that is the thing God warns them of here. And God will judge those that will turn to this outside help and not turn to him. And this is the fifth woe now. Verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. And I'd say to you and me, it has a message for us. Woe to you and me today when we turn away from God and expect to turn to some little materialistic or human help. Don't misunderstand. God doesn't intend you to go out into space, launch out there, and just hang up in space. God expects you to be reasonable and all that sort of thing. But in the final analysis, what does have top priority as far as help is concerned? Where do you go to for help? To your banker? Even to your preacher? Or to this radio teacher here? Where do you go for help? Don't go to us. Every now and then somebody writes me, what should I do? Friends, I don't know what to do in many of the problems that arise in my own life. And I don't think you should turn to man. In the final analysis, now it's nice to ask for advice, but in the final analysis, we go to God for help. And the Lord, you remember, said in Psalms 27, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we'll remember the name of the Lord our God. Sure, let's have our chariots. I think we're going to need our atom bombs, by the way. It looks that way in this world today. The Lord Jesus said, a strong man armed keepeth his house. Be sure that you don't act foolish, because faith is not foolishness. And my feeling is that a materialistic philosophy says that it's smart to trust in the stock market or your bank or these things, and that you don't need God is a tremendous mistake today. Now, God says in verse 5, as birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Now, he did that in the days of Hezekiah. We're yet to see that in this book of Isaiah. There is one thing for sure, the Assyrian will not take this city. God says in verse 8, then shall the Assyrian fall with a sword. Not of a mighty man. God says it's not because you're going to be strong enough to drive him out. You won't. God says, I will deal with the Assyrian. And the Lord's people are not to deal with Egypt. Their confidence should be in the Lord. That's the great message of this chapter. It's meant for us today, and may God apply it to your heart and to my heart today. My, how I need this, how I need to be reminded that I don't need to go to Egypt. I need to look to the Lord. May God bless you, my beloved.
If you'd like to be in touch, you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit us at our website, ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, as always, so grateful for your company on the Bible Bus today and every day as we go through the Bible.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. It washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?
Thank you.
You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, greetings in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to all of our faith partners and radio listeners. Praise the Lord. We are the church and the city with the city in our hearts. A special sympathy to one of the sisters who her son passed away. We're so sorry. I am Minister Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of Melbourne, Florida. And the church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. Come and be blessed. Here's Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out there in Radio Land. We thank God for another opportunity to be in the land of the living, because he's the only one that is responsible for everything during the course of the day, even at night. And we pray that that all out there in Radio Land, that you thank God for what he's doing in your life. He woke you up this morning and allowed you to see another day. And this is why we all rejoice and say, Lord, we thank you, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall all rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. He's merciful and compassionate. And I tell you, when you keep your mind on him, he'll keep you in perfect peace. Praise God. Well, today we want to look at what the Word of God says. We're going to go into 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 for starters, because we want to just talk about the healing power of Jesus and what he's done for us. He's done so much for us all, and we just need to praise him. Somebody out there in Radio Land should say, Lord, I just thank you right now for just being able to walk on my own. Praise God. Or even to see, because all things that he has blessed us with, praise God. We thank him for it in the precious name of Jesus. But let's look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, Minister Gloria, as we...
It says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Well, praise God, praise God. He said that who his own self, he did it. This is where we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of all the difficulties and the situations we are going through, we just thank God for it, for not for the situation, but we thank God in everything. Praise God, giving him all the grace, the glory, the mercy, and everything that he has blessed us with. Well, Peter's saying here that who his own self bared our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And I want to tell you today, if we were healed, then we are healed. And we should just keep our heart and mind on what God's word says. And I believe the report of the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. I believe his report. He said that by his stripes that we are healed, then we are healed. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, the word of God is clear. And Minister Glory, would you...
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Praise God.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Praise God. We are healed. Isaiah looking forward through the tunnel of time, should I say, because what's happening is that he prophesied this, that there was one that's coming that will die for our sins. And his name is Jesus. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that he is the only way back to the Father.
Amen.
He is the way,
that's right,
the truth, and the life.
That's right.
And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And we want to thank God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he came into this world to deliver us from all of our sins. And he said this is an evil world, and it is an evil world. If Jesus said it, he knows exactly what it is. And Minister Gloria, we want to look at another verse of scripture there in Galatians. Praise God. In Galatians there. Amen. Praise God. We want to look at that in Galatians. Praise God. Hey?
Galatians?
Yes, we want to look at Galatians 1 and verse 8 and 9. Praise God.
Okay, it says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, to say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that you receive, let him be accursed.
This is why we have to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and give him all the praise, because he is the way, no other way. And I want to say out here, out there in Radio Land there, that the God in whom we serve, he's merciful and compassionate. He's long-suffering. And I tell you, he loves you. He loves us all. Praise God.
Amen.
Because he died for us all. Praise God. And that's why the Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse 2 that he is, and we need to keep that in mind, that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
And we thank God for that, Minister Gloria, mm-hmm. because we can do nothing without him. We need the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Because he's wonderful.
Yeah.
He's merciful. Praise God. And he's done everything for us.
He
hung there on Calvary's cross. Mm-hmm. He took all of our sins, sicknesses, and disease, and he nailed it to his cross. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, we need to honor him and glorify and magnify his name.
Yes.
Praise God. Keep your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. In any kind of situation that will develop in your life, you have authority over it in the name of Jesus. And that name is above every name. No matter what the situation is, Jesus is still Lord. Praise God.
Praise God.
And that's where our faith has to be, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not in what we feel that we are able to do, because we can do nothing apart from him. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise God. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, I want you to read that, because we can do nothing without Jesus.
Philippians 3 and 13.
Philippians 4 and verse 13.
Philippians 4 and 13.
Praise God.
For it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me.
Praise God. You see, we need the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our strength. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is everything. And when we put our trust in him, he will see us through. Praise God. When we thank him and praise him for everything. Praise God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
That he is able to do all things.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, Minister Gloria, mm-hmm. we want to just lift up the name of Jesus and
praise
thank
God.
Him for his healing power.
Amen.
And everything that flows through us, because that's the report that we believe. We believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise
it is now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Praise God. Now unto him,
mm-hmm.
no one else, only the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
Well, I ask today out there in Radio Land and even here, what power is working in you? Is it the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in you, that's giving you direction and bringing forth healing in you? We must trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of the living God worketh in us because we believe what the Word says. And I want to tell you today that in Acts 1 and verse 8, Jesus was telling his disciples, and I strongly believe that you are one of his disciples as well.
Amen.
If you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ms. Rowe, you want to read Acts 1 and verse 8?
Yeah, he says, but God. You shall receive power.
Praise God.
After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
That's the power that should be working in us all.
Amen.
As children of God.
Amen.
Our faith must be in what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that you shall receive power.
Amen.
After that, the Holy Ghost come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I thank God today, praise the Lord, for everything that he's doing and what he has done in all of our lives as children of God. Praise the Lord.
And you know what, Pastor, Philippians 2 and 13, we must remember it's not us, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure, not us trying to do anything. It's only about him. Amen. Praise.
Well, it is him, because he's the one that's doing everything.
Amen.
That's why our faith and trust has to be in him. Praise God. Amen. In the Word of God tells us in Colossians 2, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to look at the 12th and 13th verse, because we give thanks. And that's what we have to do. We have to give thanks unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has done everything for us. Praise God. And let's look at that verse of scripture there. And in Radio Land, I want to tell you that we need to look at what Colossians 2 and verse 12 and 13 is saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Minister Glory, you want to read that?
Well, it says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. He has forgiven you all of your trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why we have situations in our lives is because we have not confessed problems that we have. And we all need to bring whatever it is to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, heal me.
Amen.
Heal me, Lord. I believe what you said in your word. Heal me, because you are able to do it.
Yes, he can.
And this is why we trust him.
Amen.
We trust the Lord, regardless of the circumstances or whatever it is that's going on in our lives. Like you said before, whose report we're going to believe? We're going to believe the report of the Lord.
That's
amen.
Right. That's right.
And what the Lord said,
mm-hmm.
we're going to believe, because what he's done it all
mm-hmm.
on the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
His blood was shed.
That's right.
For us all.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's why we must give him thanks.
Yes.
Unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Excuse me. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Praise God. Even the forgiveness of sins.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Giving thanks.
Yes.
Unto the Father, who has made us partakers of the inheritance of saints in the light. We are in the light.
Amen.
When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are in the light because we ask light to come into us. Praise God.
Amen.
And what Colossians is saying here, the Church of Colossians, he's saying here, well, give thanks unto the Father,
praise God,
who has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Eternal life.
Amen. In whom we have redemption through his blood.
Ooh, glory.
In whom he has delivered us,
amen,
from the powers of darkness,
mm-hmm,
and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Amen.
We are in the kingdom regardless of the circumstances.
Glory,
we are
God,
born again by the Spirit of the living God. We have power that's operating on the inside of us by the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
Jesus did it all. I said Jesus did it all. Mm-hmm. And what he's done is that he's made it possible. In Romans 8 and verse 11, praise God,
mm-hmm,
I want to tell you today that the Spirit that raised up Jesus,
yes,
it's the same Spirit that we have in us. And Minister Gloria, you want to read that, because the power that's operating in our lives, praise God, is the same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead.
It says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Praise God. Resurrected power.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Resurrected power. This power is power that operates according to God's will. This power is not ours. It's been invested in us. Praise God.
Amen.
And I tell you, a lot of people try to say, well, they have this power. But I want to tell you, the power is not yours. Mm-hmm. It belongs to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. And he anoints us and brings us into a place where we can receive this anointed power that operates in all of us as children of God. Now, in 2 Corinthians 4, and we look at what the Word of God says, and it tells us that this power belongs to God.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
This power belongs to God, and we have to depend on him. Praise God. We don't go around boasting or bragging about, well, I have this power. This power belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Minister Glory had ministered before there in Acts 1 and verse 8, it says, Jesus says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you.
Praise God.
So he's telling you where this power comes from. So now in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, Minister Glory, you want to read that?
It says, praise, but we have this earthen,
this, we have treasure, this treasure
and earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Now, that tells us where this power lies, and God has the power. Praise God. And as the scripture tells us, and we need to stay focused on it, that the treasure,
amen,
the Holy Spirit is treasure. Praise God. The treasure is in earthen vessels.
Yes.
And we are earthen vessels.
Yes.
Praise God. And the excellency of the power is not of us. But it's of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we know where this power lies and who the power belongs to. And we thank the Lord for that. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Because we have the victory. We have the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We have victory.
You know what it says? It says in Colossians 3 and 1, it says, if ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above.
Amen.
Where Christ sit on the right hand of God. And it says, set your affection on things above and not things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Wow.
Whoa.
What mighty verse of scripture there.
Amen.
That it's not us.
No, it's not of us.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, everybody out there in Radio Land, if you believe and trust in what the Word of God is saying, you will be able to walk in the victory.
Praise,
praise
God.
God.
That's right.
And this victory that he has given us
is from Jesus, praise God, Christ.
Only by the Lord Jesus.
But
God,
thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise,
everything's
God.
Everything's about Jesus.
And we want to walk in that victory. Praise the Lord. We want to walk in the victory that he has given us. And the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 57,
mm-hmm,
praise God, that we are,
mm-hmm,
praise God,
victorious
through our Lord in Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus,
mm-hmm,
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Who gave us the victory?
Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. And say, and That victory, we're not fighting for the victory.
We have it.
We already have the victory.
Amen.
And the Bible tells us that since we have this victory, we are to be steadfast.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Unmovable.
Unmovable.
Always abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. We thank God for that today because the victory lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that's done it all.
He's done it all.
There's nothing that we can do in of our own strength.
Nope.
You know, mm-hmm. but make a mess of what's going on. But if we depend on the Lord Jesus Christ and thank him for everything that he's done. You know, Minister Gerg, I want to show you that in scripture here that Jesus, he did it all.
Okay.
In Colossians 2 and verse 14,
mm-hmm.
and in 15, he's given us the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
2 and 14,
yeah.
Praise the Lord, praise
Amen.
God.
Amen, praise
it
God.
It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us.
Praise God. See, that's what he did. He blotted out the handwriting and the ordinances that were against us and contrary to us by taking it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Amen.
Now, that 15th verse is what I want to tell you, that Jesus has done it all.
Yes.
And that he did this at the cross of Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the blood still has power. Praise God. I said the blood of Jesus still has power. That blood covers us from all sickness and disease, griefs and sorrows, whatever it is, the blood has power. In the 15th verse 10 minutes ago,
and having spoiled principalities and powers.
Amen.
He made a show of them openly, triumphing them over them in it.
Praise God. He did that all by the cross of Calvary. Praise God. He and he alone gave us the victory. He gave us the power. And the enemy can't do no harm to us no matter what he's trying to do. We have power over him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We have power. Praise God. And if we're going to look at, you remember when he gave the disciples power, praise God, in Matthew, the 10th chapter, when he sent them out, praise God, he gave them power, and he's also sent us out. He says that as the Father has sent him, so send I you. Mm-hmm. So he sent us out as well. So in Matthew, the 10th chapter, when he calls his disciples together, praise God, in the 10th chapter, and he gave them power.
Yes.
You want to read that, Mr. Gordon?
It says, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, he gave them power.
Yes.
See, so the power wasn't of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's of God. So he gave them power. Praise God.
Yeah.
Now, in Luke, the 10th chapter,
mm-hmm.
in verse 19,
yep.
These 70, well, first of all, they were disciples, and then a disciple is one that follows the master of his teacher.
Amen.
Then they became apostles when he sent them out. Praise God. So in Luke 10 and verse 19,
mm-hmm.
you want to read that message?
Because behold, I give unto you power.
Amen.
To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing... I'm going to say that again. And nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, this is what he did. He sent them out.
Mm-hmm.
They came back rejoicing. And they were saying that, Master, even the spirits
mm-hmm.
are subject unto us in your name.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that name is powerful.
That name is powerful.
The name of Jesus
That's
is
right.
powerful.
That's right.
That's why we can speak that name in any given situation, and it brings forth healing in our bodies.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, bring forth healing in our bodies.
That's right.
When we depend and believe what that word says.
Yeah, because it says, wherefore God also had exalted him, Jesus.
Yes.
And given him a name which is above every name.
Yes.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and all things in heaven, and all things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Glory to Father.
Praise God. What a mighty name. Praise the Lord. That's why when we speak the name of Jesus, whatever the situation is, if you have sickness in your body, speak the name of Jesus.
Speak the name of Jesus.
And thank him for what he's done, because he's done it all at Calvary's cross.
Amen.
He took all of our sins, sicknesses, and disease, and he nailed it to his cross. And this is why we can depend on what he has done for us all.
Amen.
And when the enemy tries to come in, the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So what's happening is that the enemy is always trying to stop you from doing the will of God. But we give Jesus the praise.
Amen.
And the honor, because he's given us power. You know, Minister Gray,
yes.
Back there in Luke 10 and verse 19, I wanted to mention something else there, that
okay.
He gave us power.
Yes.
That word power is authority. Mm-hmm. He gave us authority over all the works of the enemy.
Yes.
Praise God. And he did that to you and to me as a child of God. We thank him for it. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. We thank God that we have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and the Savior of our lives. Praise God. And Mr. Gloria, you know, in Romans 10 and verse 9 and 10, mm-hmm. it tells us, praise God, that if we believe in our heart, and this is where everything has to be. It starts in the heart.
Amen.
Praise God. The enemy tried to work in your mind, because the mind is the battlefield. Mm-hmm. But what's taking place is that your mind, you have the mind of Christ.
Right.
Praise God. And in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, it tells us that we have the mind of Christ. We're not trying to get it. So we want to think the thoughts of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, Minister Gloria, would you extend an invitation to all those out there in Radio Land that need salvation? Praise God.
That if thou should confess with thy mouth,
amen,
the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, by faith in Jesus Christ.
Praise God, by faith in Jesus Christ. Because in Galatians 3 and verse 26, it says that for we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land. I thank God for you tuning in to the broadcast, wherever you are, and keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that has done it all. God bless you all out there. Until another broadcast. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.